when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be going to the book of 1 Kings. Amen. I love this story in the Bible. How many know the story of Elijah? So in this text, here the setting is, and most of us know, God spoke a word to the prophet. This was a time of famine. The famine was for 3.5 years. God had brought this upon his people simply because of disobedience and sin. And the Lord said that I have held off the reins simply because of your disobedience and your sin to serve and to serve other gods and worship idols. And God hates idolatry and when we put things before him. Amen. He's a jealous God. And his people throughout the Old Testament, we see the pattern. They fell into that same rut all the time where they had forsaken the true and the living God, even after he blessed them abundantly, even after he gave them great things, homes, and he blessed them and prospered them, they still always seem to find themselves in that same manner of constantly falling in to backsliding and getting away from God. And the Bible says here in verse 1 of 1 Kings 18, this is a time of famine. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the what? In the third year. I want you to understand that God is a God of timing. He does everything and makes everything beautiful in his time. God had ordained this time for famine to be upon the land. And he says here, Elijah in the third year saying, go show thyself unto Ahab and I, what? Will send rain upon the earth. Understand that this famine that was sent for 3.5 years was proclaimed by the prophet of God. And this was the mouthpiece of God. Elijah was probably, if not one of the greatest prophets in the Bible in terms of his power and anointing that God placed upon him. He was a man of God. Amen. But God also used him as a great mouthpiece to proclaim things that he was going to do. And how many of us know that's what proves if there is a man that is a true prophet or not? And that is, or woman for that matter, there are woman prophetess. And that is that if they speak a word and it comes to pass, that gives us the ability to judge whether or not they are of God or they're not. Amen. So a lot of times you will hear people that will say things that don't come to pass in the timetable in which they are proclaiming it. And I can tell you this, if you've got, and we're full of them today all throughout our nation. Ministry now has become so commercialized. Ministry We've got preachers nowadays that are advertising their ministries. They're looking to get invited to churches. They're looking to promote themselves. It's a sad day when you'll use the gospel to promote your ministry. See, the motivation is not to see souls saved, set free and delivered and come to exhort the church and to strengthen the body of Christ, amen, to the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of prophets, there's a lot of people that are self-proclaimed, and they do have gifts, but all those gifts are not being used in the right capacity. Amen. The gifts are given to build up and strengthen the body of Christ. Because, brothers and sisters, it is the gifts that prepare us for the coming of the Lord. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit of God are to be functioning within the church. And when they are not functioning within the church, you will see a weak church. Are you listening? Now, when I mean that word weak, I'm talking spiritual. And if there's ever been a day and a time that we have a weak generation of Christians, it's the day and the hour that we're living. And in the last days, the Bible says there would be signs that would show us that we are living before the coming of Jesus Christ. How many would agree we're living before the coming of Jesus Christ? Rumors of wars, pestilence, spiritual wickedness, all the perilous times shall come, false doctrine being promoted in Christian churches, amen. I've been digging into some of the false prophets of our day, and a lot of people get hung up on this stuff because they're afraid to call names. I'm not afraid to mark them that cause divisions and preach doctrines that are contrary, amen, to the Word of God. And if we've ever had a generation of false prophets, buddy, we've got them today, amen. I don't care how big their churches are. I don't care how many is in their crowd. I don't care how big their bank account is. They are going to be judged by this word. This word is what will judge you. And we as believers must judge all things according to the Word of God. Not with a personal motive to point out somebody and say, hey, he's false and he's this and he's that. That's the wrong motivation of our judgment. Our judgment has got to be based upon, is this of God or is this not of God? We've got a generation of people that are lapping up preachers, teachings, and prophecies, and they'll go to their conferences, they'll buy their books, they'll buy their CDs, and they'll look and go, and oh, I need a word, I need a word, I need a word. Listen, we've got a word right here. It's the Word of God. There's 66 books in this Bible that will feed your soul. There's no lie in this Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this Word is eternal. And this Word is what will give you faith. This Word is what will give you power. And it is the Word of God that will keep you in this last day hour of deception. We are living in days of deception, church. We are living in the midst of a generation that is not standing with sound doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That means in some of these churches, they're not preaching sound doctrine. But they're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears that are basically coddling and catering to people that want to feel good. Preachers, speak something that is good. Speak something that will make me feel good. Give me a personal prophecy, teacher. Oh, preacher, oh, teach me something that will make me get happy. But brothers and sisters, we need some true prophets of God to raise up in this last day hour that will be like an Elijah, that will say sin is going to withhold the reign of God. Oh, reign is a type of the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, we better admit it now that we are in a famine in the church in America. Yeah, they may have revival in the Middle East and in other countries around this world, but the churches overall in America are in a famine. sin. We're not seeing the outpouring of the Holy Ghost the way we used to see it in days gone by. And yes, that was for yesterday. Yes, that was for days gone by. But brothers and sisters, I read in my Bible that in the last days, he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It is still available to us in this last day hour, if you believe it, say amen. Problem is that we have to pay the same price that the early churches had to pray. Yeah, I said pray. There's a price to pay in prayer. There's a price to pay in fasting. We need it here. I said we need the rain here. And we've got a promise in the Word of God. He says, I will send the rain. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to say it again. God said, I will. Somebody say, I will. Send the rain. What are you talking about, rain? He's not talking altogether about that natural rain. Amen. Rain in the Bible's always been a type of the Holy Ghost, amen. And this is what you need. This is what I need. It's not just for the Pentecostals and the full gospel holiness. It's for whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. And brothers and sisters, what I think has moved into many of the churches today, and that is when the prophet Ezekiel looked across that valley of dry bones, he said, my God, these are dry and they're very dry. Amen. This is the spiritual condition of many of the churches in America. And brothers and sisters, I fear that even it has moved in amongst some of us that we are dry. The rain has not fallen upon the thirsting souls that we all have. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for a move of God, for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and I'm believing that God can still, Lord, pour out His Spirit upon the hungry, the thirsty, and those that are dry in the realm of the Spirit. We are dry, brothers and sisters. That's enough to hurt your pride right there. You're dead. You're dry. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm not talking about getting excited and jumping. There are those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the, about feel like preaching right here, because we might as well understand Elijah was dealing with a day of apostasy where there were false prophets all through the land. Yes, they were prophets, but they were false prophets. They were under the cunning craftiness and deceptive spirit of a woman called Jezebel. And you read in the book of Revelation where Jesus told them that you have allowed this seducing spirit to come in and seduce my servants, the prophets. Can I tell you, we've got a generation of preachers that have allowed another spirit to come in. I'm talking about Pentecostal holiness. I'm talking about full gospel churches. And I can tell you right now, many of you know what I'm talking about, but there's some that don't have an experience of what true Pentecostal holiness is and where our roots have come from, where we were established. Was in the early turn of the century in 1906. God began to gather together 12 to 14 people, and they begin to pray and seek the God of heaven. Now we have been invaded with another spirit and another gospel that is being promoted by the false prophets of our day. Elijah was dealing with over 400 false prophets. Devil was trying to lie to him, saying, you're the only one. It's one thing to be false, but it's another thing to know that you're false and continue to preach false doctrine. There's some unknowingly by deceptive spirits. Well, where do you get that in the Bible? The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there's some men that are deceived by these spirits of Jezebel, these spirits of false doctrine. I'm talking about damnable doctrines. How many of us know the Bible talks about damnable doctrines? What does damnable mean? It means it will
will send you to a devil's hell. It matters what we believe. You ain't got to say, man. I said it matters how we believe. It matters how we rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. I'm not going to say everybody's a prophet that simply says Jesus is Lord. For many shall come in my name and they shall deceive many. There is a generation of preachers in our day that are professing the name of Jesus, but they do not know him. He never called them. He never sent them. And it's another spirit. It's another gospel. And it is so deceptive that many don't even know they're deceived by it because they've never tasted of the real and the genuine. You can't know what the real tastes like until you've... There's nothing like the real thing. Oh, glory be to God. I want the real. I don't want some spirit, amen, that really doesn't put any emphasis on doctrine. There's no emphasis, amen. It's more triggered towards feeling good and personal prophecy. This spirit that's moved in today, I'll put doctrine aside. We don't need to, amen, study the word of God to show ourselves approved unto him, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Push doctrine aside. We're just all going to come together and worship God in the spirit because we're all God's children. That is a lie of the devil. We're not all God's children. There is an apostate church that has a form, that has an outward, but they don't have the real thing. Preachers like me are not very popular. This won't get you an invite to come to somebody's church. Amen. Most pastors are scared, amen, to hear preachers preach this way, lest they be exposed to some of their deceptive, cunning, crafty devices that they're using behind the pulpit to lead the masses in the wrong direction. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Jesus said, many shall arise, amen, and preach and proclaim my name, but they are false. They are false. Oh, is his word not like a hammer? I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful that we've got a preacher that will proclaim truth. That I'm not going to be some preacher that's going to tickle your ears and preach you a candy-coated message and say we're all just going to go flying away one day. No, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, a people that have come out from among this religion that is false and under a deceptive spirit. And I'm telling you, this is where we are today. We're dealing with things like the days of Elijah, where there are false prophets in the land and they are deceiving the masses. But brothers and sisters, this baptism of the Holy Ghost is what has identified us. Amen. Starting in the book of Acts, when they came out of that upper room, they said, these men are not drunk as you would suppose, but these men are full of the Holy Ghost. This is the power of the real. This is the power that we want, and we don't want an imitation, and we surely don't want anybody promoting something that is not doctrinally sound. And this is what we're dealing with today, is a spirit of deception being promoted by teachers and preachers behind pulpits in America that are bringing and preaching damnable doctrines. And by their good words and their fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. It's easy to deceive people when they don't know the word. But when you can get a man of God that'll look you right in the eye and say, sir, you're preaching false doctrine. I dealt with one of them a few weeks back when I looked at him right in the eyes and I said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I felt like telling him, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what the will of God is. The will of God is his word. I said the will of God is his word. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun, but we've got a generation bringing in new things, new doctrines. Oh, listen, it might be new to us with fresh revelation of the word of God and the spirit of God revealing deeper truths. But I can tell you this, there are spirits that are moving in among full gospel Pentecostals that are leading people right into false doctrine, and they are believing lies and things that go totally contrary to the word of God.
Oh, well, they got a big church, Pastor Davis. They got radio. They're on TBN. They're on Daystar Network. That means nothing to God. The problem that I have is they pushed away from true biblical doctrine. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost produces holiness. Most of these modern day charismatic revivals are producing nothing that has to do with holiness. Matter of fact, they're looking more in conformity with the world rather than coming out of the world. Now it's just let them all come in and worship with us. I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, folks have realized real quick. I know we got a smaller congregation here, and I'd love to see it grow. But one thing I don't want to see come in here is these modern day spirits that try to flaunt their gifts, try to flaunt their ability, try to flaunt what they've got to offer. I know this and I know that, and they're always bragging on their gifts and talents and ability. That is not the Holy Ghost. When you've got a gift of the Holy Ghost, you don't need to brag on it. You don't need to sit there and, amen, put it on display for everybody to say, wow. No, that's not it. The real motivation of the Holy Ghost is that Christ would be exalted, that Jesus would be lifted up, that we would get our eyes upon Him. This is the true doctrines of the Bible. They will point to Christ and Him alone, and not a ministry, not a man, not a preacher. When a man gets exalted above Christ, God will bring that man down. I could name off several preachers that begin to get exalted. Let no man, no man's greater than his what? Master. Oh, we're just servants of the Lord. Can you say amen? The true Holy Ghost produces is this. It produces holiness. Amen. And the second doctrine that needs to be promoted and preached is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is what identifies us and separates us from all other churches, is that we are not a denomination, but we are in Christ. I said we are in Christ. And brothers and sisters, this is what they seen in them when they stumbled out of that upper room. They seen some men that were coming from another realm. These were men that all had the power, had the anointing, and spoke with the power and the authority of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It was Peter came down out of that upper room. Yes, I'm talking about Peter, the one that had to be rebuked and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Oh, the Peter that had the revelation of who Christ was. Isn't it amazing that at one moment we can be receiving the things of the Spirit and get great revelation, knowledge, and truth, and then just in an instant we're trying, I'm super spiritual. Peter had the revelation, and Jesus said, "Thou art the rock." Oh, and I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. He was talking about Peter's faith. This is what we need, is men of God of faith. But faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. This is what will establish you in the true doctrines of the faith of God's word, is the true unadulterated doctrines of the Bible. Holy Ghost came upon Peter. Bible says he stood up with the other 12. He was the spokesman. He began to preach under the anointing. And he rebuked that generation. And he told them, "You guys rejected him and you crucified him.
but he has risen. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, the Bible, as he began to preach to them, he wasn't candy coating it. He told them, you've rejected him. Oh, but the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. What are you talking about, pricked? It has the thought of being convicted, coming under conviction. No, Peter's first sermon wasn't some pretty old sermon on finances or how to get rich or all this deep revelation. I've got the revelation of the Christ. Let me preach to you something that will get me invited to some synagogues. Let me preach to you something that will open up a door to me. No, he stood flat-footed and he cried aloud. He spared not. He lifted up his voice like a trumpet and he began to rebuke them. He began to deal with them, and he went right down into the core of their heart and said, you are the ones that crucified the Lord. And they were convicted in their hearts. This is what the Holy Ghost comes to do. Convince us, convict us, and deal with us about the sin that's in our lives. And then he begins to lead us and guide us into all truth. We need the true doctrines of the Bible preached in this day and hour. Now, you know that Elijah dealt with all the false prophets. And what did he do? He corrected them. He mocked them, actually. He says, where's your God? How many of us remember him preparing the altar of the Lord? The Bible says that he got the wood. Amen. They washed the sacrifice. And they did everything, the Bible says, according to the word of God. God is a God of order. The sacrifice was to be prepared specifically and in order. There was a specific way that God wanted things to be done when the sacrifice was prepared. We don't have time to get into it all. One of the first things he did was what? He repaired the altar of the Lord. Speaks of prayer. Speaks of your place of sacrifice. If you don't have an altar in these last days of prayer, you will fall. You will not make it. You will fall prey to the deceptive lies of the many ministries of our day and hour that are leading the masses down a road to destruction. Who is the church in Revelation chapter 3 that gets spewed out of him? Who are they? They're spewed into tribulation. They made him nauseous. He rejected them. Oh, they were in Christ, but he spewed them out. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, amen, I don't want to be, amen, making God nauseous. I don't want to make him sick, but I want to be something that is pleasing, that brings honor and glory to his name. And you know what honors God more than anything is when we obey that which he's commanded us to do. That's how we honor God. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.